It's the session. Ted, can you open the microphone on the speaker pod? Hello? Okay, so now we're working. So welcome to the IDN session. I know this is late in the day, and we have the pleasure of overlapping with two of the World Cup games. So fortunately, I have a colleague of mine over here on the side, Patrick Jones, so we'll keep you updated on any scores in the two games. And of course, that's Slovenia, England, and the U.S. playing Algeria, so we'll see how that goes. Meanwhile, though, we'll talk about IDNs, so be assured that you're not missing anything on the games while we're talking about the subject. What? Yes, you're absolutely allowed to cheer for the games. And I can imagine that some of you will be watching it anyways. So we have an hour and a half on the subject of IDNs today. And what you see on the screen now is the agenda. We're first going to take a look at how everything is going with the IDN CCTLD fast track process. To help make that a little bit more interesting, I'm happy to let you know that we have three speakers, from one from UAE, one from Saudi Arabia, and one from Russia, to help us out and get some information about how things are going after the launch. Then the second topic is going to be variant management, which is something that the community has been discussing for a really long time and which is really important. We're going to take a look at the challenge and see if we can get some good discussions going on that subject. And then, of course, we're going to hear from CNNIC and TWNIC on their experience with variant management, which is one certain type of variants. Now, the presentations, we're going to try to make them as brief as possible because we really want you to come up to the microphone and have a dialogue on these two topics. So we'll open the microphone after each one of the two subjects. So the first one thing to say is really big congratulations to the first four IDN CCTLDs. They have been celebrated widely and locally a lot, but this is the first IDN meeting since we had IDN CCTLDs going to Roots. So big congratulations to the four. They're all listed up on the screen. Everything is working, so you can go try it out as well if you want. And as I said, we'll hear more from three of them here today. Now, a little bit about a general status. So the first four are live from the fast track. We have more coming, obviously. We have a total of 31 requests or applications in today, so that's very exciting. They all represent a total of 19 languages. From the ICANN side, we're processing these as quickly as we can, of course, following all of the procedures that are set forth in the fast track process. other IDN topics, and I'm going to touch very briefly on these, but there's the IDN GTLDs, which we've had some expressions of needs for as well. They're underway. They will be available in the GTLD program, which is to be launched. And there's been a lot of meetings on that this week, so I won't go into more details of it. Then there's the subject of usability, and that's generally usability of the IDNs. As things go live at the top level, we see some additional challenges. There's applications where things work well, and there's applications where things don't work so well. So, and this is not IDNs alone, but IDNs, of course, is a part of it. So what you're going to see from ICANN and what I hope you and, you know, what you're going to see from ICANN staff and what I hope that you, everybody in the community, is going to help us out with is to participate more in the application events and application layers so that we can get some more information and the correct information out to the application developers. The new fiscal year for ICANN starts here on 1st of July, so that's one of the projects that's going to be taken up in that year, and so you know, you'll see some more about that. Then there's the variant management project, and we'll talk in more details about that. We really need to get some initiatives going on that subject and get that moving. Then there's the IDN guidelines, and the guidelines revision working group has been working on providing updates specifically in relation to the revision of the new protocol. We were trying to see if we could get that revision or proposed revision of the guidelines out before the meeting, and we couldn't. We have some very tight deadlines for when we post stuff before an ICANN meeting these days. So you'll see it hopefully shortly after this meeting. It will be out for public comment, so keep an eye out for that. And then the last subject that I cited to list on the sort of general status update is another subject from the ITF, which is around the internationalized email protocol. I think personally that that's going to be a very exciting protocol to get finished so that we can see some more traction and implementation in the different email software. So all of these things are underway. So even though we have the first four IDN CCTLDs in the root, it doesn't mean that we're completely done yet, but we'll get there. Patrick, is there any scores yet? No, okay. So on the fast track process, I just want to mention the revision of that process. It's working really well. We see like a couple of elements being confused every once in a while for countries, but I think it's really mostly minor details. But as with everything else at ICANN, our processes are up for review. The fast track process is scheduled for an annual review, and so it's coming up in November. So I just want you to take into mind that review process is coming up, and we need your feedback on it. I listed a couple of topics here for considerations for that review. Transparency and timing. There's been some discussions about when the applications submitted to ICANN are actually become public knowledge, and that could be sooner than later. Community support, clarifications, and documentations of it. There are some debates around, you know, what constitutes community support, how much do we need, and stuff like that. We've provided some more guidelines on it, but it is a topic I think we should take up in the review. Disputes, confusingly similar, is again mostly just about clarifications on it, and to date we haven't really had any disputes, disputes between countries or territories or anything like that. So that's working really well. And then the last subject I wanted to list is IDN CCTLD manager decisions and the process for that. That is something that goes after the actual string that people want is being evaluated. So again, it's mostly just for clarifications. I can't really bring up any subjects that I think specifically need to change that would make a big change into the process. There might be some supporting documentation and so forth we can make more clear, but that's pretty much it. So keep an eye out for that. We're going to make a public announcement of the review, and of course we want all of you to participate in that. And with that, I'm going to ask, we have the three gentlemen from the UAE, from Saudi Arabia, and from Russia to give us a presentation on each and their launches and experiences. So I'm going to ask Mohammed Al-Sarouni from the UAE if you'll present first.
Thank you, Tina, for such an introduction, and I'm very pleased to be here, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mohammed Zarouni. I'm the director of .AE Domain Administration. We are the current registry operator for the United Arab Emirates, country called Top Level Domain .AE, as well as the ID and CCTLD for the country, which is .Emirat. It's my pleasure to be here to present our experience with the IDN and share it with the communities for the public benefit. First of all, before I go to a discussion or elaboration more about our IDN experience, I would like to explain a little bit about our position as a registry operator, managing a registrar model in the United Arab Emirates. We are the sole registry operator where we have around 15 to 16 registrars operating and selling .AE domain names to the public. So the end user has a choice to choose one of those registrars to register a domain name through their interface. All these interfaces are actually connected to us using an EPP system. So all of the registration are actually automated, either for .AE as well as the .Emirat. Well, just to start with the background, as you know, internet started to be, or domain names started to be using only ASCII, and the needs started to come and arise in the horizon to have to support the nation's languages in the domain name to make it much easier for the people to use the internet in their own native language. That's why we took this initiative and we put all the effort to be pioneer in such initiative to introduce the Arabic domain name for our community. Again, I'm just giving you an example of how the domain name system works with us. An individual can register an Arabic domain name through one of our accredited registrar, either via a fully automated EPP system or via a manual transaction. That also depends on the way how registrar, what service registrar is doing for this one. Now, when it comes to variants, we do see a variance plays a very important role into introducing of through the induction of the Emirat.cctlds. We have done a consultation with our communities and the government, and we saw a lot of support towards implementing the variants along with the domain name itself. And we have identified two main great reasons why the variants are very important to the communities. First of all, you'll have a better accessibility, and the second thing is to reduce the phishing and typo squatting issues. I'm going to explain these in the couple of the slides which are going to be later after this. We have implemented the variants within the Arabic language because we do understand that certain characters are very similarly confusing to the end user. At the same time, apart from being confusing to the end user, the Arabic domain name or in Arabic language, there are a lot of people, they do confuse between typing certain characters or letters together. For example, if you type Aleph, which is the first U627, there is a probability of other people that are typing Aleph with Hamza or Aleph without Hamza or Aleph with Hamza below. It depends on the context of the word itself. This is similar also to other characters like Ha and Ta Marbuta at the end of each word and Ya and Aleph Maqsura. That's all what we did. We did a great thing, which we we are always proud of, because we actually received a lot of acknowledgement from the communities that this is the way how to move forward when it comes to Arabic domain names. I give an example. Sorry, it's in Arabic. When you register a domain called Hayat Abu Dhabi Al-Siyaha, you will get this domain name along with all other variants with it. Those variants are actually blocked by default. So they don't go and provision into the DNS unless the end user asks to activate them. And the activation is straightforward. Either it can be done by a registrar through EPP extension or through a manual activation through a portal system which we provided to the registrars. So in this case, the end user decided to choose three out of many variants he or she think that it's most likely the end user will type in. But at the same time, why we are not actually allowing all of them to be activated by default? Well, this is due to, first of all, resources, that there might be not all of them there actually will be needed. At the same time, there might be an extra effort need to be done by the registrar or the registrant to activate the equivalent into the other chain, like the authoritative name servers, the applications, the servers, like Apache and those things. Now when it comes to our fast-track experience, we've gone through the three main phases of fast-track as a string preparation, string evaluation, and string delegation. As of the timeline, we have actually gone through these phases since 16th of November 2009, once the ICANN actually opened the door to CCTLDs to apply for it. On 21st of January 2010, we got our string evaluation results. On 22nd of April 2010, we got our delegation, and on 5th of May, our TLD got into the route. We have done actually our official launch on 22nd of May 2010. That is the first domain name which was published, Khalifa.Emirat, which is belongs to the president of UAE. Although the domain name was there actually since before the IANA actually put the zone, put our TLD into the root zone, but it was officially announced on this date. As far as the launch phases, we are actually started the phase one, which is entirely for the government entities, on 30th of May 2010. And the other phases will follow. The sunrise will start on 27th of September. The land rush will start on 15th of November. And the open registration will start on 11th of December. I also would like to highlight our experience, the IDN, when it comes to the launch. We do believe that in order to launch any IDN system or any IDN domain names, top-level domain names, there are four main pillars for any IDN to be successful. First of all, to have a very clear policies when it comes to the IDN, the variants, a transparent policy. You have to do a lot of marketing, especially taking into consideration this is a new concept in the world. People, they got to know all of information related to this one. You have to do a lot of reach out to the communities, explaining to them how IDN works. Operation, at least you should have an Arabic-speaking customer service to support your community, especially when it comes to the registrar. The fourth thing is very important, which is the technology. Now we have actually reached a certain level where we are proud to say our TLDs are actually up and running and it is in the root zone. But what about the technologies? Are they actually supporting the domain name and as user-friendly? Someone might argue with us, yes, they do. The question would be, will the domain name is as friendly as the ASCII domain name when it comes to the browser, to the email? I don't believe so, because we have actually received a lot of comments from the end user complaining that browsers or even other applications like email, they're still not supporting the Arabic domain name in a properly thing. So I would like to, at the end of the slides, I would like to convey a certain message to our friends as an application developers that there are a lot of things need to be done to enhance the user experience when it comes to the domain name. Name it. And in the browsers, in the exchanges, in the end users' softwares, or even the server-side softwares. So my message, or the message which I'm trying to convey on behalf of my community, is that keep IDN as simple and as user-friendly as an ASCII domain name to your end user. And that's, of course, it's a win-win situation. The application developers would like to have such features in their software. They need to work hard. And the working hard means that there will be a lot of collaboration, hopefully, between the registry, the communities, and the application developers to see a real improvement into the user experience when it comes to IDN in general. That's for the time being. That's it. If you have any question, or shall we keep the question at the end of the panel? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mohammed. We'll take questions as soon as we're done with this panel. But let me just mention one thing that you probably or might not know in the audience. The UAE was actually one of the first, if not the first, IDN ccTLD manager that implemented the revised version of the IDNA protocol. So, congratulations to you guys on a good job on that. Next speaker is Dr. Al-Suman from Saudi Arabia. Also one of the first four IDN ccTLDs. So Dr. Al-Suman, Saudi Arabia, of course, have been leading the Arabic testbed for a long time years ago, and because of that have been driving a lot of experience in the region for Arabic. So Dr. Al-Suman, please.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Dina, and also thank to Mohammed. I think he will make my presentation much easier because you'll find many ideas are similar because we as an Arab countries, we work together to get this idea and when working for all our regions. So the agenda for the presentation, I divide in two four sections. One, what we have done as, in our region as Arabs to support and make the Arabic language be ready to domain names. And then later on, I'll talk about how we did, particularly with the Saudi IDN ccTLD in the string evaluation and delegation. Then later on, what are the technical and logistic preparations in our side to be ready to this IDN. And then what is next? We get the IDN in the TLDs. What is next? About SaudiNIC. SaudiNIC is a government organization, non-for-profit organization. We were running the .SA since 1995, and now we are running also .Saudiya, which is the IDN ccTLD. Before the launching of the ccTLD fast track. When I can in 2003 survey the communities to see who are ready, in our response we said that we are ready from day one. And this came because since the year 2001, we collectively with our neighboring countries in the Arab world, we work together to solve a lot of problems, particularly in the linguistic issues. We spent a lot of time to really resolve all the linguistic issues with respect to domain names. We spent a lot of time to build our local technical capabilities to work with the IDNs. We have 10 years experience on how to deal with the IDN with respect to Arabic language. We developed a number of tools. We have a test bit, a pilot project for the many Arab countries in which that we prove the concepts. We modify some tools in the browsers. We develop tools to allow DNS checking and so on. So we really had some technical experiences with these things. And also we share it with the community. Most of these softwares are public, open source. Most of them, they are also accessible through the internet. With respect to the providing the service to the community, we built on on the protocol, the current protocols, which gives you only the set of allowed characters. So in the registry, we have to develop some, like, you know, approach to really provide, like, you know, a solution that is acceptable by the user, easy to use, and also protect their needs. So we have the solution divided into three sessions or three stages. The first one, we have to define the language table. It has to be really clear to the user what are the, like, you know, character sets be supported in the registry. Then next stage is to, like, cover the, like, you know, confusability, like, you know, safeguard. We want to protect the phishing, as Mohammed in his slides show you some examples how, like, you know, some characters might be similar to each other. So we have to, within the language, we have to safeguard the phishing problems. Then the later on, if we want to reach the larger community with the Arabic, like, you know, script, like, you know, community, we have to develop the solution for how to handle the variants. So for the first one, we have really spent a lot of time in our community to develop a language table, and we publish it in RFC 5564, which define all the, like, you know, allowed characters and how you deal with certain linguistic issues. This, like, you know, having this language table solved, like, you know, a number of problems. For example, like, you know, the zero with none joiner, because we don't allow it in a language table, we don't have that problem. So, which is really a big problem with respect to the Arabic scripts. Combining marks, non-spacing marks, all these have been solved just by defining the language table. Second one is the confusability safeguards. What we have done within the language to protect the domain names, we build a layer which will allow the, like, you know, the registry to check automatically when the domain name has been, like, you know, registered or requested for to be registered, to check if there is a similarity with other domain names. So to safeguard the phishing problem. And the third, like, you know, layer or stage is to develop, like, you know, an algorithm, which we call master key algorithm, that which allow us to solve the problem with the variants. With the variants, like, you know, in the Unicode, you have a number of characters. They look alike. They're similar. If you put one character in front of a mirror, you'll find it's the same, but with different codes. And the problem with the, like, you know, with the variants, these codes are entered using different keyboards. So people will not be able even to type your domain names if they have different keyboards. So to allow that one, we had to develop this algorithm, master key algorithm, which will allow the, like, you know, the user to request a domain name and have a master key to the domain and all the variants of this domain name. And with respect to the evaluation and delegations, we went the same stage that Mohammed has already mentioned. We applied when the, like, you know, fast track opened. We got, like, you know, the string evaluate, like, you know, approved. Then we apply for delegations and we get it really approved and added to the zone file. The only that can be, like, you know, comments here to add, if like, you know, you allow me, is that just to share our experience with this process. We find the string evaluation process very straightforward. We could, like, you know, handle it easily, but we were a little bit surprised with the delegation process. With the delegation process, we find the communication, particularly, was not really adequate, if you wish. We find that, like, you know, it's hard to know what stage we reached. There was no, like, no update regularly. We have to ask many times. And sometimes we didn't really get the right response. We get, like, you know, machine-generated email. It really does not satisfy our, like, needs. And surprisingly, the delegation was done, like, you know, without any, like, you know, like, notice for our side. We just, like, you know, one day after that, we said, oh, your delegation or your, like, you know, domain name has been added to the roots server yesterday. And that was a surprise for us a little bit. To be ready for the IDN, we have to develop a lot of, like, you know, policies. You cannot really just provide the service without a policy. We have a BDB for producing policies to in our registry. We follow our BDB to produce a number of regulations. One of them is the main regulation for registering Arabic domain names, regulations for opening or launching the services in Sunrise and so on. We have an objection rules, which is equivalent to disputes, because we cannot really do now disputes between parties. We are not in that business, but we could do objections. People could object to domain names, and it could be resolved through the regulations being put. Also, we put procedure to govern the reserved list. We have a huge list of reserved lists in Arabic language and also in Latin for the .sa. We put guidelines how people could write domain names in Arabic. People, they never used Arabic domain names. Arabic language and domain names. For example, usually when we write languages, we put spaces in domain names. Spaces are not allowed, so we have to explain to people how really write domain names without spaces and how to write it in certain formats to be accepted in domain names. We have that published on our websites. Then we have to have the technical capabilities to do that, mainly increasing the bandwidth to be able to come with the sunrise and the land rush of the registration. We had to rebuild by ourselves the registry system to support Arabic language and to support the Unicode and so on. We announced our opening plan on 15th of April this year, in which has two phases. One is sunrise phase, in which that we accept application from the government organizations and from the trademark owners, and that started in the 31st of May, and it will end in 12th of July. Then in 27th of September, we'll have the land rush, which means that everyone could apply at that time, which that they are eligible to apply for Arabic domain names under Dota Saudi. What is next? The display is not really excellent with the Arabic letters, but what we need really now, we got the TLDs at Saudi, but really people will not be able to type it if they see our domain names if they have different keyboards. Currently, this is only be accessible if you have Arabic keyboards, but if you have Urdu keyboard or Farsi keyboard or whatever keyboard, you will not be able to reach these domain names unless ICANN or IANA provide us with the variants at the TLD levels. Now, currently, we do registration to our clients, but we don't provide them any variants until the variants level of TLDs is resolved, so we could give them the whole bunch, because we cannot give them in two stages. So this is one of the things that's really, really needed. Second one, as Mohammed said, at the application level, IDN will be accepted by user if the experiences of using IDNs become easy and accepted by the users. Some of the applications, current applications, does not support IDNs. For example, email is not there. Any chatting application is not there. So IDN is not widely supported in applications. Current applications which support IDNs has a problem with the Arabic language, particularly because of the left and right mechanism. Arabic language is written from right to left, and the Latin is left to right. So when you display a URL, things a little bit get mixed up, and the user expectation and the display become awkward. So user will not really accept that one. And sometimes the user type the domain names in Arabic, and then the browser will display them in XN-dash format, which is really, they will get surprised. What is this? This should be hidden really from the user side. Other one now, if you type, for example, if you have subdomain names in Arabic, for example, if you have three levels of labels in Arabic, they will get mixed just because the dot is an ASCII. The dot is an ASCII between Unicode, so the codes just flip around. So this has to be addressed by the vendor or the application developers. One of the things that we, in the sunrise, when we experience how people will really fill their application, they have really problem with spaces. People used to add spaces on their writings. In our language table, we said space is not supported. You should use dash, but it's not being used in their normal writing. We have to spend a lot of time. Most of our ticket system, most of our technical people in the support, they just educate people how really. Tell people how you write these domain names in a way that could be accepted in the registry. That was one of the challenges that we really had. So it would be good, at the application level, that people could type it with, spaces, but then they could change to for example, dashes. That could be one way to solve that one. I think this is my last slide. Thank you very much for, giving me this time.
Thank you, Dr. Al-Saman. And so the last speaker of Fast Track Experiences, Andrei Kolesnikov from Russia, please. And Russia, of course, is one of the first IDN CCTLDs where they have a very close resemblance to Latin. So that created some additional challenges for Russia. So please.
Thank you. Okay, let's go. Just a little story. First of all, our IDN works already on April 22nd. Was approved together with our colleagues, with our colleague countries. It was delegated on May 12th, and there were first two sites actually launched and delegated domains were President RF and Pravitelstvo, which is Government RF. Also, we got some technical sites like our coordination center and the technical center following the leading sites immediately. We should utilize our work, of course, from the marketing perspective. Also, on May 25th, we delegated the zone file, and the first hour we've got 247 domains delegated, resulting 576 the first day, which is not bad. It means there is a demand. Okay, just a little think about the numbers. We've got about, up to date, it's more than 14,000 domains registered. Most of them are trademarks, and about 4% is reserved for the governmental needs. For the governmental needs, we have a static list. It's basically the names of the we call the federation names, the names of the cities of the federal meaning, the president, the Kremlin, the constitution, the Russia, all this kind of federal words, as we call it. We put it in a reserved list for the governmental use. Also, the names of the federal institutions, like the Ministry of Telecommunications, the Ministry of Culture, the Ministry of Agriculture, the Interior Ministry, and so on and so forth. It was pretty straightforward. And now we've got about 22% domains being delegated out of 22% of the total domains registered, which is not bad for the considering that nobody knew that if it will be popular or not. Was still debates going on whether it's good or bad. Just a little about the lessons we learned. Of course, we were taking the risk launching the Sunrise prior to the string approval. We actually launched the Sunrise on the 25th of November last year, but we were pretty confident that the string which we applied is okay in terms of security and stability because we got this special Cyrillic character at the TLD string. And also, we didn't have competitors. Surprisingly, there were no applicants inside Russia who actually can stand up and saying, we want this ID and we will be the administrator of this TLD. So we were pretty much confident that everything will be successful. And, of course, very important to have appropriate governmental support. I should say that the Ministry of Telecommunications supported this approach a long time ago, First, we talked to the ICANN people in Mexico during the conference in Mexico, and even at that time we already knew that it's coming. There's nothing will stop the fast track process from being finished at the reasonable time. Let me put it like this. And I think my personal belief that it is a reasonable time for the for such a project. We faced we faced a lot of issues, but one of them very interesting. We said, okay, this is Russian ID and this is Cyrillic, okay, we should give a priority to the trademarks written in the Cyrillic. So we did. Our first phase was for the Cyrillic trademarks. But unfortunately, we were wrong because according to the Russian legislation, and I think not only Russian, every trademark owner, every application has equal rights. So we have to then launch the second phase of the priority registration of the sunrise for the trademarks owners in the Latin, in the combined script, in the graphical images, and so on and so forth. And, of course, we didn't spend enough. We were too fast, actually, was a problem. We didn't pay attention that the service quoting is an issue, but the patents quoting is a much larger issue. That the companies and the bureaus keeping the trademarks, in the big volumes for the later use to trade, to buy, to sell. This is a big market of the trademarks going, without the domain names. So we believe that the volume of the patent squatting, let me put it like this, is much bigger than the cyber squatting, at least in Russia. And so we've got the first, when we opened the priority registration, the first domains we've got like sex.rf, hosting.rf, bank.rf, and so on and so forth. And always the valid trademarks. So we couldn't stop it. It's everything is okay with that. But I should say that today, it's about 9% of the total domains are the simple words, simple trademarks, because we're still in the sunrise. It's only for the trademark owners. Now it's about 9% simple words, and I believe it will go down to 5 to 4% at the end of the sunrise. We call it the priority registration. Here's a little diagram. We plan to open the registration. I think we'll do it with a land rush on the 1st of October. And you can see the two phases of the first for the Cyrillic trademarks, second is for all other trademarks. By the way, within the second phase of the priority of the sunrise, we also plan to give the priority to the media companies with licenses, to non-commercial companies, and to some geographical names. It's already mentioned that I should switch to the biggest slide. It's already mentioned that we basically live in the non-IDN world. Everything in the internet based on ASCII, and good it or bad, it's just it just happened. This is the way it is, and we got a wonderful meeting end of last week. With my colleagues also, including them, about what we should do about changing this world for better, for the IDN, turning it to the IDN side of the planet. And we also found very interesting things. I mean, we all knew it. We all use the internet, but somehow it just, popped up, and we start asking the questions like, first of all, XN is very confusing. XN dash dash is very confusing. This is like a language. It's not human language. There is no way in understanding the meaning of it. No way to remember it. Absolutely no way. Well, we shouldn't blame ourselves for not making it right in the early 2000s, but it's already gone. But there are some things like, there is a redirect on the .com. You type the HTTP IDN and it redirects you to .com, which is maybe fine, except that for many words, at least in Russia, it returns to the porn site. Okay. Also, we all know that the browsers, the guys who are doing browsers, they have a business as a, it's a partner program with the search engines. It's fine, but sometimes it's really hard to understand what kind of results you will get out of it. So this, we believe this should be kind of quantified, should be like put some standards for that. And as I mentioned, we will do the land rush, but with a certain preconditions. We believe the number one condition is that since we are a non-commercial company, we're not a governmental company, we should plan how to spend the money we will get from the land rush. There is no target to make more revenue, so we will spend quite time to understand where, for what good reasons we should spend this money. I think it will go to, like, you know, education and children, and it's related to the internet, but we will spend it wisely. This is it. Thank you.
Thank you, Andre. So this was it for Zomaidi and CCTLD experience and a little bit of what they've been going through and the launches. So let's see if there's any questions either for the launches of the three IDN CCTLDs or any questions in general about the fast track. And as people get ready at the microphone, Patrick, is there any comments online in the remote participant group yet? No? Okay. And we're just right at halftime. So, yeah, can we get the scores for the World Cup?
England 1-0. USA, Algeria 0-0.
All right. Of course, if that stays that way, it means that US is not going to proceed. So we'll see how that goes. Questions? Fast track.
Yes. Hi. First of all, congratulations on putting up the first international domain names in the internet. I'm very fond of the Russian work because I'm here to speak up for a Bulgarian Cyrillic domain name. My name is Vasil Petev. I'm representing Bulgaria right now, my country, and there is an issue with the Bulgarian IDN, which looks pretty much, actually very similar to Brazil in Latin, .br. And while researching the issue, obviously I can decline this application, right? However, when researching this issue, I did find a flaw in the string evaluation techniques, because they just look at the extension, that everything after the dot, but when you put the IDN in context, as in president.bg, it's clear that this is not Brazilian or Latin or whatever. So I would like to just to give you this feedback and put it up for discussion during the November revision, right? So this is just my feedback, and I will put up an official letter for this and see what you guys have to say about it, because we really need the BG domain name to be for Bulgaria and not choose something else that doesn't mean nothing to all the Bulgarians. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Just a brief feedback to you. You know, I can certainly understand that that's important for Bulgaria, as it will be for many other countries who potentially could find themselves in the same boat as you. We are being very careful in the early stages about confusingly similar. So even though you could have second-level domain registrations that made, like, the whole address clearly look Cyrillic, you know, there's so much resemblance between Cyrillic and Latin that there also could be a second-level domain that looks Latin, and then if the top level also looks like Latin, you know, that would create a confusion. So you know, in the fast-track process, there's some careful mechanisms in place, and we're trying to do this in a careful manner, especially early on. The revision, of course, and the review of the process is there to see if anything needs to be adjusted. So, yeah, I certainly welcome that participation in that.
All right, thank you.
James, please go ahead.
Hi, this is James. This is a question for Dr. Zoma. And first of all, I'd like to say, I'd like to congratulate you and your team on the excellent work on RFC 5564. I was just reading it. I'm sorry. I just realized it's been published. But it is a very excellent piece of work. And I congratulate you for being able to pull this off. I have a question. I realize that you have avoided a lot of the variant issues within Arabic using this RFC 5564 by forbidding the extended, by forbidding the tawid and by forbidding the diacritics in the registration. But you do not you do not handle case folding at this moment, right? You don't handle Arabic case folding or similar?
We didn't have case folding in Arabic, but what we have, similarities between...
Similarity. So, in other words, there are domain names in Arabic that are variants of each other because you like to keep in two form, but they are variants of each other. So, how do you handle this at the registration policy level? Do you consider them as a do you charge the registrant multiple times, or do you charge them at one single time?
Okay, yeah, with respect, like, you know, this is what we call it in the second stage, and if you will see the presentation, which we do the confusingly, like, you know, safeguard. We are trying to safeguard the registrant from any phishing problems with the similarities of the letters in the language. So when we give it to the user, we give it, like, you know, free, because actually currently all of our registration is free. So our registration is free up to now. So the bundling of these things still is going to be free. Later on, if the fees like introduced, they will be like, you know, also introduced in packagings or whatever like mechanism will find it like, you know, suitable for the registrant. We didn't want to, like, you know, in our opinion, we don't want to like, you know, punish people for, like, you know, because they are like requesting IDN to pay more. No, I think we should encourage them. This is our, like, you know, vision with respect to IDN.
So, in other words, you'll be doing bundling. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Hello. My name is Fahad Batayna from .jo. First of all, I'd like to congratulate the four countries that have been delegated on the route. I actually have a comment to make, and I have a question. The first thing is that I would like to add my voice to what Dr. Al-Zaman said, in that ICANN and IANA should work a little bit closer together, because the process, the ICANN process was quite straightforward. The IANA process is a little bit tougher. So I think IANA should be a little bit more flexible in the way they're working on the delegation. That's my first point. My second point is actually a question to the ICANN fast track team. There are no clear guidelines on how countries could request for the string evaluation fee waiving. So can you please give us a better insight on that? Thank you.
Sure. So let's take the fee question first, and I'll get back to your comment as well. For the fees, we will be sending you... All countries and territories that submit a request will be sending you an invoice. If you upfront have stated in your request and said, we're incapable of paying this and we would like to request a waiver for the fee, then we won't send you the invoice. But if you don't say that to us, then we'll send you the invoice. So at some point in the process, you'll receive that invoice from ICANN. If you feel that you can't pay it, if you can pay maybe a part of it, however your situation is, then that will simply just be a conversation that will take place between you and the ICANN staff. As we've said previously, the fast track process is, you know, it's supposed to like run in itself. So whatever costs we have, we look for the requesters to cover. That is standard with everything else that's going on at ICANN. The same goes with the GTLD program and so forth. So we do hope that those who are capable of paying will be paying, and if you can pay part of the fee, you know, we really appreciate that as well. If you can't, well, you can still participate in the process. So I think that's pretty simple. You know, if there's anybody that has any specific questions on that, I would take them offline, because I think that's inappropriate to discuss in a public forum. As to the IANA-ICANN coordination of everything going on, we have made, based on the experience in these first rounds, we have made some adjustments, which means that the ICANN staff side of it will take up another area in terms of communications towards launches and stuff like that. We're not changing the IANA process. The IANA process stands as it is, and it's functioning the way that it is, and we're not changing that up. But the ICANN side will take up some more communication efforts. So you'll see that from, for example, regional liaisons, Patrick Jones and myself. So there'll be some changes going on in that area. Okay, Eric, please go ahead.
Thank you, Tina. Eric Brunner-Williams from CORE. Tina, the meeting, the group that just met previously was about lowering the bar, and one of the bar elements was dropping particular costs, and then the consequence of just dealing with that topic was cost recovery and determining what cost elements were present. So if I may, I'd like the dirty guts of everything you just said, but in very simple form, of course, so that I can take that back to the lowering the bar workshop mailing list and discuss how that particular fee element was reduced and how cost recovery elements were identified. That's my non-IDN comment.
Yes, sure. Well, you're asking me if you can take it back? Of course. Yeah, everything I say can be
referred. I'd like the details, but...
Oh, the details of it.
I don't need it now, of course.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah, we can talk about that.
I do have an IDN question, however.
Okay.
Input methods were not discussed when dealing with code point variants, and I wonder if the two individuals who did the Arabic implementations and dealt with variants in the code point allocation within the registry space, what the trade-off was in not addressing that in input methods or in keyboard driver as a mechanism for dealing with the astonishing variety of junk we're left with the Unicode code points. So, I could try and restate it a little bit less casually.
We speak the same language, so I want to just give him the chance if he wants to answer the same thing, which we actually cooperating together to have similar solutions. We understand that, the user have to select their input language first. They will select, for example, whether the domain name they will be typed using Arabic language or Persian or Urdu, whatever.
Right.
Based on this, selection, they will be given, a certain language table to be permitted. And later on, which we didn't have it now, later on we could display a virtual keyboard if the keyboard does not support that input mechanism. Does that answer your question?
Mostly, yes.
Okay.
It deals with the creation of a keyboard method as a substitute for bundling of code points, which aren't necessary to bundle if an alternative mechanism is present.
Yeah.
So you're working towards the alternative mechanism. That's fine.
Yeah, with the bundling, as you enter, one of the similar characters, let's assume that you type one of the characters in certain language, the other variants of that character, similar, it will be taken care of by the key algorithm I have just mentioned.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Carrie?
Yeah, I have a question in direct extension to that, and it's purely for my own education's sake. One would expect in a situation such as we're addressing globally, embracing a large number of languages, that the purpose of a localized domain name label is to be absolutely consistent with the writing system of the content that you've got. So you would put an Arabic label on an Arabic document, and I would presume, unless you are an Arabic reader, it really doesn't matter if you can type the address right. You're going to make a mistake. You're going to think you're not going somewhere, but if you succeed, you'll go somewhere, and it's not going to help you at all. And I'm curious about the keyboarding issues, the various representations of the Arabic characters. If this is to accommodate Arabic speakers in other language working environments, or if there's some cross-communication across the language boundaries.
Arabic language and Arabic scripts is widely used. And particularly the Arabic language is used in the Islamic world. Even they don't speak, for example, they are not Arabs, but they use the Arabic language sometimes to access some information with respect to Islam. And if they want to, like, you know, for example, if they have a keyboard, which is like, you know, older keyboard, or, for example, fancy keyboard, but they would like to access some, like, you know, information in like, you know, written in Arabic language, which they do read and understand, they will not be able to do it if you just only support only the language, not the script-wide keyboard. You get it.
Okay, so as you can tell, we're already quickly moving into the subject area of variance. And of course, that is one of the major topics in front of us when it comes to IDN. So let's move on to that. We have about half an hour left of the session. And I'm going to ask our two additional speakers to come and join us up on stage from CNNIC and TWNIC. And then I'm just going to talk a little bit in general about variance. And this part of the session really is not... Xiaodong, please join us up on the stage. And of course, this is about variance at the top level. So we have all of these implementations of variance at the second level. But when it comes to the top level, you know, how would you go about doing this? So IDNs as variants at the top level are not supported right now. They won't be allocated or delegated either in the fast track or the GTLD program as the documentation stands today, simply because we don't know how to go about doing that. It is really important in order for IDNs to be really useful, especially in certain regions, where perhaps, depending on what keyboard you have, we heard some of it from Arabic, you don't know which one of the TLDs you're typing in. So, and if you have a keyboard where you're typing in one of them and that one is not in the root, well, then you have a problem because you won't be able to access the site. And that prevents the general usability of IDNs in those regions. But it's also important to avoid confusing users and keep everything secure. So we have these two sides of it. In the community so far, we've had a lot of discussions on it, both in the technical community and in the policy community. But we haven't really been very good at defining what the problem is, I think. And at least from the ICANN side, we haven't been really good at that. And because of that, things kept being thrown back and forth between the policy and the technical side of things, and we're not getting anywhere. So we thought that we would try to have a session with some discussions on it and see if we can start from scratch again and build up definitions and perhaps categories and figure out what kind of usability or functionality is it that we're looking for. We've already seen examples, so I'm going to put some up here on the screen that hopefully will help seeing the difference between different types of variants. So the first one up there, you can see the difference. You also, if you're a Chinese user, you actually know which one you're typing. They're typed differently. They look different, they're typed different. They're variants. They mean the same thing, and they're used interchangeably. That's one type, and it's just really just a... This is just a proposal, right, to try to distinguish between them. The second one looked the same. And so that just shows you like clearly two different examples. One where variants look different, one where they look the same. And you can see they have some different categories on them. And the last example down there, they look the same, but they're across different languages. So, you know, that's one way of trying to look at the different types of variants. I'm sure we can categorize it in different ways as well. So I'm not saying this is the right way, but I'm trying to get us to have a dialogue on how we should categorize them and how we should define them. And then during the launch of the fast track and during the discussions of GTLD program, there's been a lot of questions about what is a variant. And just to make it clear, even though the variance means the same thing, translations, like just translations or words that means the same thing are not variants. That's not what we're looking at. This tends to be a little bit confusing, but I just want to make that clear. The GNSO actually decided a long time ago in one of their policy decisions that mere translations of labels or words or strings that you want to have become labels are not variants, and they're not necessarily delegated to the same entity just because they're translations. So that's just to keep something in mind about how different they can be and how we probably can't come up with a solution that's the same for all of them. And so with that introduction, I'm going to ask our two last speakers to come and speak. So Xiaodong Li from CNNIC, you're first. And of course, both for CNNIC and TWNIC, they have a lot of experience and have been working for many years on variants. So that's why we asked them to come and talk a little bit about that. So you just push forward with that and back if you need.
Okay, thanks, Tina. You do the excellent work. I think that Tina want me give some explanation on the variant management. I think I might just tell you the story about the Chinese Dominion. So variant, I think that I hate this terminology variant. I think that the variant, the meaning of variant for Chinese Dominion is a little bit different from the meaning of variant for other languages. So I have discussion with many language experts about variant problem. I think I should left this problem for the language expert. You know, the variant for Chinese, I think that simply to describe that is the same meaning with the different writing forms. You know, often we discuss the Chinese variant, we often mention the simplified Chinese and traditional Chinese. I think that some guy told me that I should use the identical, this word, to describe the problem. I think that the simplified Chinese and traditional Chinese are identical to be same, just like the capital character for icon is the lowercase icon. You know, the simplified Chinese and traditional Chinese problem is not only the variant problem for Chinese dominion, but it's the most important one. I used some examples. You can see the... Sorry, I cannot use the list point. For the first example, that I think that in Tina's presentation, he mentioned the dot China. I think that this character means country. I show you three characters. The first one is the simplified Chinese, and the second one is the traditional one. And the third one, maybe you can see it is not different with the first one, but it's actually it's different because there is no point in the square of country. For dot China, because the first character is no simplified traditional Chinese problem, and I think that the first one is simplified Chinese for dot China, and the second one is traditional Chinese. And the third one is the variant. I think that maybe some Chinese people can recognize that, but it is not popular using. You know, we use the character to make the Chinese word. I think it is similar with the English. You know that 26 characters from A to Z, and many English people that can use A to Z to make the English word. But you know, it's a little bit different between the Chinese and the English. You know, the most of the characters of English have no meaning, but the Chinese character has meaning itself. So that's totally different. So for the next example, I used the flying machine. Yeah, actually, English meaning is plan. Yeah, but in Chinese, it's flying machine. The first character means fly, and the second one is machine. So you can see that two Chinese characters, but we have four combination. The first one is simplified Chinese only, and the second one is traditional Chinese only, and the other two is the mixed simplified Chinese and traditional Chinese. So I just give you explanation on the variant problem about Chinese. I think I use this example to show you why the variant problem affect the Chinese dominion. You know, it's a little bit complicated to tell you the story about the Chinese dominion system problem. You know, this example means the bank. Yeah. It's in Chinese, bank.china. Yeah, the first two character means the bank, English word bank. I think every Chinese people know that, because if they don't know that, they cannot save money and get money. So, but you know, we need to authorize the two Chinese menu to the same restaurant. Why we do that? You know, if those two Chinese dominant name to be authorized to different restaurant, it will cause very bad user experience. You know, the users, when they access the bank.china, they will find if it was authorized to different users, it will be redirected to different site. The users will worry about there is something wrong with the work. I think it also can cause a very serious phishing problem. I think, I don't know if there are some guys from anti-phishing working group. I think if Cynic do that, I think the guy from anti-phishing working group will hit us and kill us. Yeah. Some guy asked me, what is the Chinese domain name system? Is that mean that any internationalized domain name, including the Chinese character, mean the Chinese domain name system? My answer is no. Yeah, you know, in China, we call Chinese domain name system. In technically, the Chinese domain name system including some characters. The character includes the English letters and the number hyphen and some Chinese characters. You know, there are over 100,000 Chinese characters in China, but we only use less than 20,000 Chinese characters for the Chinese domain name system registration. It doesn't mean that all of the Chinese characters is permitted for the registrar. But don't worry that, you know, that for Chinese people, I think that 6,000 Chinese characters is enough for his life. For the variant management, I think that the Chinese domain name system follow two RFCs, RFC 3743. It's the GD guideline for the IDN registration and administration for Chinese, Japanese, and Korean. You know, that both, I think all of these countries use the Han character. So the joint engineering team make a guideline for the IDN registration for this area. And the RFC 4713 is one of the profile for RFC 3743. It focuses on the Chinese domain name system. I think that if you have interest on those two RFCs, you can read the document from the IETF website. I think that it is a little bit complicated for me to tell you the algorithm of the RFCs in the very short time. I'll tell you the key function of this RFC. You know, that when the restaurant registers a Chinese domain name, yeah, the first step is submit the domain name he wants. You know, the domain name he submit and the corresponding simply for Chinese only and the traditional Chinese only domain name will be delegated to the restaurant. But you know that even the domain name including four or five characters, the number of the combination is very large. So how to deal with other variants for the Chinese domain name is a very important problem for us. In this RFC, it describes that the other variants will be reserved for the registrant in the database. And no one, except for him, have chance and have right to active that. You know, all those domain names will be treated as a package, which is owned by the only one registrar. See that this terminology, package, I think it's a very important terminology. The package means that if we add one Chinese domain name, all other variants will be added into the database. If we want to delete one domain name, all the other variants will be removed from our database. It's totally be treated as a package. I think it's a very important concept. I give you an example. this label, the international domain label, is Tsinghua University. It's the most famous university in China. This domain label including four Chinese characters, but three of the four characters have variant problem. Yeah, the first one, second one, and the fourth one has variant problem. Each one has three variant. That means that the number of the combination is 27. That means that adding package including 27 Chinese domains, the internationalized domain label, yeah, you know that maybe the user input, he want to submit the simplified Chinese only domain name, and the traditional Chinese domain name only form will be delegated to him too, and other 25 internationalized domain name label will be reserved for him. I think it's the key function of our management for the Chinese variant. I think that the current solution is not perfect, to be true. It's not easy to manage the domain name system, and we'll make the Dongfa bigger and bigger. You know, that we have discussed this problem in IETF for many years. But up to now, we have no perfect solution for that. But the IETF is continuing the work for the variant management. I think that Tina mentioned that the DNAME is the solution. But you know that DNAME is not a perfect solution for the variant problem. So now we submit the draft to IETF about the solution for BNAME. I think it's the BNAME is the improvement of DNAME. I think if you have interest on that, please refer to the IETF. I have no time to explain that. I also suggest you read another draft about Zone Clone. Yeah, it was drafted by Paul Wixie. I think that Zone Clone is not especially for the Chinese variant management. It's also not for the variant problem, but it can be used for the variant management. It clone the zone file from one zone to another zone. It'll be very easily. Of course, there may be other kind of solutions. I think that we will make our contribution to IETF. I hope maybe in the near future we can have a perfect solution for that. Okay, that's all. I hope the rules information is useful for you.
Thank you, Xiaodong. So we have about 15 minutes left, so I'm going to ask Naiwen Su from TWNIC to come and give a presentation on their experience with IDN variant management. And Naiwen Su, if you can try to make it in like maybe about 10 minutes, and then we can try to have some public discussions afterwards. No.
Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Naiwen Su from TWNIC. Today I was talking about some issue about variant management in Taiwan. First of all, I was talking about why we need a variant. And the second, we're talking about the RFC and the analog variant table and the TWNIC restraint policy. First, I was talking about CDNC. CDNC is in 2000, four NIC, CNIC, TWNIC, HK, and MONIC set up the CDNC in charge of coordination and regulation about Chinese domain name. And the CDNC focus on technical solution for Chinese domain name, including IETF, IDN standard, and Chinese variant, and so on. And 2001, CDNC suggests using variant table to implement simplify Chinese and the traditional Chinese resolution. So at that time, she decided to make the variant table two versions, one is traditional Chinese and the other is simplified Chinese. Tina Maker, 2002, we formed a Chinese variant working group. The working group member include Academia Sinica, is the research organization in Taiwan. And the second is the National Central University. And the Taipei Computer Association is the largest computer organization in Taiwan. And the directory Central Budget Accounting and Statistics is the government department in charge of the government computerized. And next is the Chinese Foundation for Digitalization Technology. It's an organization promote the Chinese computerized in Taiwan and the IBM Taiwan. And at 2002, Tina registered for the Taiwan National Standard for the Chinese variant table. And from 2002 to 2003, we total submit seven versions of Chinese variant table for the domain registration standard. And until 2004, the standard is approved by the Standard Organization Committee. And at 2004 July, the standard was published as the standard number is CS14S38. And at 2005, the table is published as IANA.tw Chinese variant table. This page shows some Chinese variant example. There are three groups of Chinese characters. You can see that they are the different Unicode point, but the shape are very similar. Some is the, for example, some is the simple Chinese and the, some is traditional Chinese. The JT guideline, RFC 3743, the JT guideline is talking about the variant table. The language variant table includes three columns. First is very core point, and the second is preferred variant, and the third is character variant. IDN administrative guideline, RFC 4717, registration and administration recommendation for Chinese domain name. It's a solution for Chinese domain name registration and administration that has been adopted and deployed to manage simplified Chinese and traditional Chinese domain name clearance. The IANA variant table, currently the GHTW language variant table define all the more than 90,000 Chinese character variant table for the traditional Chinese domain name registration. And the registration guideline for the Chinese domain name has been expressed as an RFC 4713. The variant table is sent as the national standard. Next, I will talk about the registration procedure. In Titamica, we include the simplified and the traditional Chinese as the registration language table. Activation of the request domain name and the reservation of the equivalence should be provided by the registry. within the language-based character set. This is a very simple example. The first column is very common. The second and the third is the preferred variant. Because we use two language tables, traditional Chinese and the simplified Chinese, so we have two preferred variant columns. The second column is traditional Chinese, the third is the simplified Chinese. And the fourth column is the character variant. According to the variant table, for example, you register the four very core points, you can get the preferred variant label, the traditional Chinese and the simplified Chinese, just as the second and the third column. And the other, the character variant label will reserve. So we will put the preferred character variant into the zone 5 and the other reserve variant. The other character variant we will reserve for the resistance. And you can check the police. The police will show the original vertical point, vertical point label and the traditional Chinese preferred IDN label and the simplified Chinese IDN label, and the others reserved. Okay, that's all.
Thank you, Naiven. So, as you can see, there is a lot of work going on in different places locally when it comes to variants. And so the challenge I think we have is to try to bring that into the different processes so that we can see if we can find a solution for IDNs at the top level for variants. The way that works at ICANN is that it works like everything else, right? We need to get it into the policy discussions. And there's been a couple of meetings this week and some discussions about how to move this forward. And so from the staff side, we're going to try to see if we can give some proposals. So everything you see here is simply just proposals. I think we need some variant definitions. I think we need to list some of the different questions and problems that we have and see if we can come to like a consensus in some way about, what are the different types of variants? Should they have different rules associated with them? Do we want them to function in different ways or should it be the same for all of them? You hear a lot about the IDN tables and the variant tables. Today, we don't have any rules specifically for how to generate them because that's done locally for the different TLD managers. Well, so the question is, for the top level, should we have some rules? If we don't, are people going to game the system? You can make anything a variant of anything if you don't have any rules around it. Do we need any dispute mechanisms to solve or objection mechanisms to solve different things? Those are just some of the questions that I'm going to put out to you guys in the community for your policy discussions. And for the variant definition, we have a couple of different suggestions for it. None of them, I think, are accepted as covering variants globally. So we may need to actually differentiate between the different types and set up some different kinds of definitions. There's a lot of discussions about terminology choice. What do we call it? Today we call it variants. It can be confusing because there are all these different kinds of variants. On the more technical side, we need to keep a better dialogue with the technical community because they don't really know what it is that we want to try to do. So we need to specify to them what is it really that we're looking for, what kind of functionality are we looking for, and then the technical community can say, oh, well, that's not going to be possible, but, maybe you can do this instead or, so forth. Some possible test scenarios that has been mentioned by our speakers as well, DNAME, and B name. D name, before we test it, I think we need to describe a little bit better what is it that we're testing it for, because otherwise we obviously can't get any good results out of that. B name is still in development, and as far as I know, it's not something that we can test at this point in time. But the last thing is to take a look at the experience with just having registration policies and operational management and dealing with variants in that way. And maybe that works with, you know, some of the variants, and that would be good. And you know, maybe we should try to encourage letting that move forward. So that's a little, you know, some questions and suggestions for the community on that. I see we have a lot of people, or maybe not a lot, but a few people lining up. So before I just have two more slides left. So before I move to that, let's move to the microphone. Patrick, if you have anything in the remote, just let us know. Yeah. I don't know who was first over here. So you're fighting over it? Oh, yeah. Okay, well, that's good. Eric, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Eric Brenner-Williams again from CORE. In Ottoman times, calligraphic exercises starting at Aleph and going to Yah with the 28 or so characters and the three base characters, 28 base characters and three additionals. As a calligraphic exercise, created some very beautiful assemblages of Arabic script. My point is to ask, how long can words, common words, be in Arabic without coming to the natural end of a word? The reason for my asking this is to, I suspect I'm going to get a substantially different answer than the question about how long character sequences are in Chinese, which reflect the several thousand common words. My guess is that on the order of five characters or fewer is the size of labels that we need to consider variants within, where we define variants as being sampling from the TC and the SC code point repertoires. And this notion of variant has scale properties, which is significantly different from whatever it is we think we conceive of as Arabic script variants. So can you suggest to me that I'm correct in thinking that Arabic words can be significantly longer than five characters long in labels? And to the two gentlemen from the ideographic realm, that the assemblage of likely labels that your registries would be willing to enter casually into your zone files would not be much longer than five characters within each label.
Okay. The length of the expected Arabic labels, I think it's going to be longer than the usual ASCII ones. Because, like, you know, many reasons. One of them, that abbreviation is not widely used in Arabic language, so people will use, like, you know, almost complete word. Sometimes to express, like, you know, the actual thing that you want to label it, you need maybe two words, so that's mean make it even like, longer. So our expectation, that's the Arabic domain names will be a little bit, like, you know, a bit longer.
Thank you. That addresses the first half of my question, and I think my initial ignorance was correct. For the construction of labels in an ideographic script, whether it's simplified or traditional, unified Han script, is it reasonable to think that the overwhelming majority of labels will be of length five or fewer characters? I'm asking the gentleman from TW NEC and from CN NEC, Xiaodong and
so Eric, your question is about the unification?
Really, it's a scaling question. 2 to the N. What's the bound on N? What are we really looking for? It's certainly not maximum label length. It's on the order of how many characters to form the majority of labels, which has a label as a zone file operator, then your admission control on your zone file. Presumably, you're not going to be looking for what people have been calling the exponential explosion. Actually, N is quite small. Am I correct in thinking that?
Yeah. Eric, maybe let me try to help them out a little, if you don't mind.
Okay,
If you look at the zone file that's existing right now, I haven't seen .tw, but I seen snapshot of .cn IDN's registration. You are right in the stand that there is significant portion of names that is 5 characters or less, because there are more information encapsulated within each character in Chinese. You know that.
Thank
right?
you, James.
So, however, having said that, there are some official names of organization, like a government agency, which you cannot forbid them for having more than 5 characters.
Yes, I'm aware that Chinese has the same obscured properties that German has of being an agglutinative language, and you can actually stick things on at arbitrary length. But the majority of labels that we're going to be addressing, for which the problem of having SC and TC elements scattered at random throughout the label, is actually quite small. And that was the scaling difference I wanted to get to.
You are looking at the property of 2 to the power of 6, I would say, rather than 2 to the power of 5.
5 or 6 I can buy. It's integers much higher than that that I'm concerned about. Mm. Thank you very much.
Sure, no limitation from that for .cn.
Pardon?
I mean, there are no limitation for that for .cn. We follow the limitation for the label. The answer to another. There's no limitation for the registration for 5 characters.
It isn't about the limitation that's naturally imposed. Rather, as the zone file operator, are you...
Yes, as the zone file operator, we prefer is not too long, but...
Right, that's the point I was trying to get to, is that as a rational zone file operator, 2 to the 5 or 2 to the 6 is the largest you're going to be routinely encountering. There will be some exceptions for very long names, which are the constructs of perhaps a government creating entirely long labels. But for the non-governmental registrant, you're looking for actually fairly small label size, and therefore the size of the problem that is independent of the properties which Tina has put up, there is another way of approaching this, which is the scaling property of the variants presented by an Arabic script are distinct from the scaling properties of the problems posed by the unified Han script.
Sure,
I agree. That was the point I'm trying to get to, is that at least on a scope basis, these two forms of variants are quite distinct. Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks, Eric. I appreciate that. That's a different way of, you know, dividing that up, and I think that's really useful. Olafur.
Okay, Tina. For those who don't know me, I'm Olor Gumason. I am co-chair of the DNS Extensions Working Group in the IETF, and I really like your first 2 points on the slide. Yes, we have been kept in the dark on what are the requirements for IDN, but we really, really want to hear a good problem statement. We don't care about whether the problem is in German, Greece, Arabic, Chinese, but we want a problem description that will hopefully serve a lot of them, and then we can talk about solution spaces. We, in the working group, have not signed up to do any new work. Any new work that would be done in a DNS control plane, as I call it, that means in the resolution algorithm, will take a long time. Just look at DNSSEC. So, if people want to deploy variants today, the only place they can do it is on the provision side, i.e. having everybody doing it by replicating the zones by hand or having the provision systems do it. As for the 4th bullet there on DNAME, I hope you will, if you're doing a test, Tina, this time, you will try DNAME in parent solution. I'm meaning that they're referring directly a DNAME to the targeted replica. And if that is a workable solution, then that could be, that would require changes in ICANN contracts. So TLDs currently are not allowed to put anything but NS records and DS records and stuff like that in them. And there are other technical proposals on the table, and if we decide to take up work after we see the problem statements, there are going to be other proposals that are going to show up. So I cannot give any guarantees of how long the work will take. But the sooner we get the problem statement, the better off everybody is. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So my slide on D-name there is, I think, much along what you're saying, which is that we need to define better what it is that we're seeking before we can test anything. But, you know, we'll try to see how we can move that forward in a fast way.
Thank you, Tina. My name is Werner Staub. I work for CORE, but I'm making these comments or questions actually in personal capacity. I've been a little bit worried all the time, you know, over the last years about the time and the delays we have with respect to implementation of IDN TLDs. And we always try to understand where the delays come from. And of course, we have now many indications of the source of these delays. And then new questions are asked, such as one of the things I heard you say before was we have to make sure there's no gaming, you know, for instance, of applications for TLDs where there would be an IDN label potentially required. And here I'm a little bit worried, looking at the examples of the documents that we, as an ICANN community, have produced up to now, that we have made rules that are very technical with respect to calculating indices and scores and detailed type of rules, as opposed to specifying principles that may not sound so objective, but that catch the spirit of what we're trying to do. For instance, when you say we're afraid about gaming, that somebody might get an IDN, a TLD that shouldn't be maybe awarded. What are we using? Are we trying to get a technical description of when there should be one, knowing that there's so many different cases? Or are we trying to capture the fact that there is a need with respect to the integrity of the culture and language for concurrent deployment of variants? That is somewhere, I think, an opportunity to make the language of the rules simpler, of course, at the expense of those who then have to interpret it, but it's probably much more secure.
Okay, so let me clarify just a little bit about, Werner, what I said about gaming. I opened it up as a question. You know, today we have no rules for how the IDN tables are generated. The content in them is not reviewed by ICANN, for example. It's a local decision. That means that you can put in variants, you know, as you please, as a TLD operator. That also means that if we do allow delegations of variant TLDs, you could have any kind of number of TLDs. Then we start to get into a scaling issue, and are these really variants, and are they really useful? Should they really be delegated, and so forth? So I put up the question, in order to avoid any confusion around this area, should we have rules about how the IDN tables are generated? And it's just a question, really mostly for the policy development parts of our community. I didn't intend it any broader than that.
I was actually trying to respond to the specific question. What should the rules be like? Should they be complex and technical, or should they just catch the spirit of what we're trying to do, such as it should be an answer to necessity with respect to integrity and so on, as opposed to, say, we just want to accommodate a certain type of phenomenon?
Okay, sure, yeah. Of course, it's hard to evaluate that, but I agree with you that should be the direction. So we're going to take one more question at the microphone. Is there anybody in the... No, remote participation. One more question at the microphone and one at the table, and then I'm going to do just a quick summary so we can get out of here and get ready for the gala.
Thank you, Tina. I'm Johnny Du from Stapletown. First of all, I want to thank three of you and your country's language idea and in production. And also I want to say... thank Dr. Li and Dr. Hu for your explanation about the variant management in traditional Chinese and simplified Chinese. My question is actually regarding the string contention and the string confusion. And is ICANN going to publish the reviewer's credential and the background for string contention and the string confusion? And as well as who's going to review which language for string contention and string confusion? For IDN GTLD.
Oh, for GTLDs. So this is not a GTLD session.
Oh, I understand, but yeah. I just take this opportunity to ask this question.
Sure. You know what? We'll take the question back to our colleagues on the GTLD team and see if we can get an answer for you.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I don't have that answer, fresh in my mind, so I wouldn't want to go into the details of something that could be said wrong.
Okay. Thank
okay.
you.
Sorry. Andre, did you have a...
Yeah, just a quick man. Using the chance, I'd like to say thank you, Tina, because you did a really nice job with IDN project, with the fast track, and I think we are all grateful for your efforts and for your hard work to make it real. It works. Oh my God! You know, it took us. It's not a long time considering it's really fast track. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I think it was fast track too, so now we just need to get the last issue solved as well. Is there anyone else on the panel who has any last comments?
I just want to give a response to Olafur. Yeah, I think that maybe we can have more discussion in your working group in IETF meeting. But according to the BDM or Zone Clone or other kind of solutions, even that is a very future solution for the ID invariant problem, but I think that it's valuable to do that. Even compared to DNSSEC, I think that it's a long-term work, but we still do that in 10 years ago. Even that maybe BDM or Zone Clone is a solution for the next 10 years, I still think that it's worth to do that. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, great. So let me just give you a 1 minute next steps for variants. This is how it looks from the ICANN staff side. We're going to try to do a proposed project plan for how to go about continuing working on variants. That includes definitions and activities and so forth. We're going to gather all of the information, everything that was said in comments here and in other meetings this week, see if we can come up with a proposed plan that we can put out to you guys for public comments and see if we can, get some agreement on how to move forward. And I listed on this slide as well, of course, there's a lot of constituencies and working groups and so forth that are discussing the subject and that are interested in it. So just to put to you that, just like the fast track, it was very much a successful process because the community came together from different areas and worked together actually on getting a process up and running, and it works because of that. So let's try to do that on the variants as well. We also have a board working group to support us on it, so I think that's very positive, and we should all take advantage of the great interest and all of the different groups that can work on this. So we just need to try to get ourselves more coordinated and describe things a little bit better so we can move forward. So I think that's really it for us today. We have a lot of good things on IDNs that are working really well, which is exciting. So, for me, I just want to say congratulations again to the four countries that went live, and to the ones that are coming. We have a lot of other countries coming, and that's going to be exciting for them. And then we'll continue to work on variants in other areas. So thank you for those who participated remotely, and thank you for you guys here in the room and for participating. Thanks. And maybe just to say, those of you who are going to the gala, the buses are leaving on the road outside of the square starting at 6 o'clock, and the last bus is at 6:40. So, yeah. So you have time to get out there. Thanks.